Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today is the day of Pentecost, and what is Pentecost? Well, it starts, it's 50 days after the resurrection, but that first comes by 40 days after the resurrection. 40 days after Easter, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he ascends into heaven, where he seats at the right hand of God the Father, where he intercedes for us, prays for us. And then 10 days later, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit with the Father. The Father and Jesus send the Holy Spirit down to earth upon the disciples. And the disciples, until this point, have been kind of waiting around in Jerusalem, not really sure what's going to happen. And when the Holy Spirit comes, there's a great festival within Jerusalem, so there's all sorts of people there. They're actually there celebrating a harvest and bringing in of the fields and all that kind of stuff. And so they have a feast day for that. And so as the Holy Spirit comes, there's people all over Jerusalem from all over the area, the world really, the known world, and they speak all sorts of different languages. And the Holy Spirit comes flaming tongues, as a mighty rushing wind, descends upon the disciples, and the disciples are then able to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to all the people there in the people's native languages. But lost in this celebration day and in all the fireworks and the show of Pentecost is sometimes the true purpose of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for you and for me and all believers and, frankly, even to unbelievers throughout this world. And in our gospel reading, Jesus tells us and describes to us what the role of the Holy Spirit is, what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for you and me. And this begins in verses 8 through 11 in John chapter 16. Jesus tells us that when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. It might be a better way to say that is that the Spirit will convict the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And what that means is that the Spirit won't lay down a guilty verdict so much as like in a courtroom setting, but convict a person in terms of feeling guilty, even perhaps feeling shame for their sin. And the first thing that Jesus says is that the Spirit will convict the world concerning its sin. Because they do not believe in me. If you were to think about what the worst sin you could possibly do is, Jesus lays it out for us here. The chief sin is the sin of unbelief. Not believing that Jesus came to this earth to die for you, was raised for you, ascended into heaven, all for you. This is the chief sin. And the first thing Jesus lists about what the Holy Spirit does, its purpose, is to convict the world about their unbelief in Jesus Christ. Now, as people sitting in church on a Sunday morning, you got to think, well, we're off the hook on this one, right? We obviously believe in Jesus. We're here worshiping Jesus. And that is absolutely true, but there are times, though, when we do give evidence to unbelief. Because to be in unbelief is to trust in someone or something other than Jesus. Times that we do this are times where we don't trust that the Lord truly loves us. How can the Lord love a sinner like me, a person like me? Truly, I am unlovable. And this might sound harsh, but that is the height of pride. To think that God can't possibly love you, that you're some terrible sinner far beyond God's love, well, that's, quite frankly, pride. Because it's not true. Jesus proved this for you by going to the cross for you. That is the love of Christ for you. To think otherwise is to be a doubter and to have unbelief. Unbelief is also exercised when we don't believe that the Lord truly forgives us. When we don't fully believe the power of the cross to wipe away our sins. This is unbelief in the life of a believer. In the life of unbelievers, of course, that sin is unbelief, a rejection of Jesus Christ as the Lord for them. So the Spirit will come and convict the world concerning its sin, chiefly unbelief in Jesus Christ. The Spirit will also, Jesus says, convict us about righteousness. Because I am going to the Father, you will see me no longer, says Jesus. This one can be a little confusing as to what it means to be convicted versus about righteousness. I think a good way to describe this is to think of funerals. And I'm not talking about any specific funeral that I've done. Don't worry about that. But often, at a funeral, and perhaps even more often at a wake that comes before a funeral or the prayer service that comes before a funeral, what do people tend to talk about? We talk about how good the person was. We lift up their virtues, how great of a person this person was. And that's not a bad thing, don't get me wrong. That's not a bad thing. But quite often, when people start talking this way, they talk as though the goodness of that person, the virtue that that person exercised, is what is getting them their peace with God in heaven. That is where people naturally want to go. That is what it means to carry your own righteousness. That is not depending on the righteousness of Christ, who gives us his righteousness by virtue of his cross. So to be convicted concerning righteousness is to believe in your own virtue, your own goodness. In fact, Luther talked about this, that one of the most dangerous things a person can do and be is to be a good person, to be a virtuous person. The virtuous, good person is in a very dangerous spot because they will tend to trust in their own goodness, their own virtue. Jesus says the Spirit comes to convict the world concerning righteousness. And the last one can be a little bit surprising here. Jesus says in verse 11 that the Spirit will come to convict the world concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. And what's surprising here is that Jesus is talking about a ruler of the world, but it's not him. The ruler he refers to isn't even God the Father. The ruler that Jesus refers to, the ruler of the world, is the devil, Satan, his legions. Jesus refers to this as the ruler of the world. If we carry on with the sin of unbelief, if we carry on believing in our own righteousness, our own virtue, our own goodness, and not Jesus and his righteousness for us, then we aren't following Christ. Instead, we're following the ruler of this world, which Jesus says is folly because in his cross he defeated death. He defeated the devil. And by his cross, by his death, the devil is then held in judgment. He is condemned. He is absolutely guilty. To carry the sin of unbelief, to believe in one's own righteousness, is to follow the one who himself has been defeated. Jesus tells us that this is what happens when the Spirit comes. The Spirit will come and will work to convict people of their sin. But thankfully, the Spirit doesn't leave us there, because the Spirit's primary goal is to lead people to Jesus Christ. That is number one. That's the reason the tongues were given in Acts chapter 2, so that people would hear about Jesus. The Spirit is at work all over the book of Acts, and it's all because of Jesus, so that people would know what Jesus has done for them. And people who are convicted of their sin are in a prime place to hear the good news of what Jesus has done for that sin, which is to die for it, to be raised for it, to defeat it entirely, to wash away this guilt. And so the Spirit walks alongside us, constantly testifying to us about what Jesus has done for us. This week at a men's Bible study and one of the last few lessons in our confirmation, we read on the explanation, Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And in this, he perfectly describes what the Spirit does for us. Because without Jesus, without the Spirit, we are completely lost. Now here's what Luther says that the Spirit does for us. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. Did you get that? Luther says, I can't by my own strength, by my own reason, by my own abilities, I can't believe in Jesus. I can't come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in the true faith. This is the purpose of the Spirit in this world. The Spirit works to bring us closer to Jesus, and the Spirit also works to bring you to people who need to hear about Jesus as well. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Your gift of the Spirit, the helper, our guide, our comforter, our consolation, our advocate. We thank You for this gift. And we pray that the Spirit would always remain upon us, that we would hear His voice when we are wrong about something, that we are walking into sin, that we would not ignore or harden our hearts to His voice, but would once again return to Jesus and His forgiveness and live the way that You would have us live. Make Your Spirit active in this world, bringing people to faith by convicting them of their sin and showing them Jesus Christ. We pray this in Your name. Amen.